Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vosk and welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Oh, what a couple of beautiful days we've been enjoying in the Southern California area. Crisp, brisk, weather, you know, vibrant. It just like smacks you in the face and lets you know that autumn's come to town and you see the leaves falling. It is just so beautiful. And this last few days I've been enjoying it. I take my morning walks early in the morning just before the sun rises. And I have to tell you, Monday was so special because I was walking towards the west and right in front of me was this giant moon. You know, the next day we had the harvest moon. So this was the prelude to that. So I saw this giant moon. I think in Moonstruck, Cher reminds us of, or it reminds her of Frank Bigelow's head. It is just like huge, like Frank's head. And it was just going down. It was this incredible moon set. And I got to witness that early in the morning. It must have been about 6 o'clock. And the wind is blowing. And on my way back home, I walked towards the east. And what did I see in front of me was this incredible sunrise. I mean, this is like what you live for, just to be able to look up and see all of God's beauty all around you. It was almost surrealistic. You know, like when you're in grade school and they tell you, draw a picture. And right away, what do? If it's a daytime shot, you put a sun up. If it's a nighttime shot, you put a moon up. You had both of these giants of nature just staring at you during that first hour of life on the planet. I mean, what? There's not words to describe this kind of stuff. It is just beautiful. You have to see it to understand it. You know what I mean? And of course, when you get home, you turn on the news, you catch up on your life, and what happens? You understand that, yeah, there is another side to all of that beauty that you saw out there, too. The winds had, of course, stirred up a lot of the embers that were just kindling here and there in some small little brush fires, and they had managed their way into the city, and we heard about deaths happening, we heard about evacuations, and of course our heart goes out to so many people affected, a couple people who passed away, who died in this fire in Southern California. It makes you think that, you know, with all of beauty around you, there is so many disastrous things. And it's the other side of what sometimes people tell me. They come up to me and they say, Father Voskin, you're telling us about so many awful things that are going on in the world. Isn't there some beauty? Of course there's beauty. It's up to you as individuals to look at that beauty. But as a conscience, we have to also look out for people who cannot see that beauty. We need to be able to reach our hand out across the aisle, not to just some other political platform, but across the aisle to the poor, to the suffering, because they are with us, and we do need to tend to them. Not so much because there's consequences to them, like if we don't do it, we're going to go to hell or something like that, but the consequences exist today. There's injustice in the world. If you don't help them, you have to live in a subhuman situation because you are a human and you didn't rise to the occasion of helping, of assisting. And we're going to talk a little bit about this today in a different twist, because it was interesting last week in our podcast when we talked about some of the financial difficulties that people are going through in a spiritual way. I ended the podcast with a reading that came to us off of the Focused Vision album. Specifically, it was Matthew chapter 6, and it was done more poetically with some music. And I got some incredible comments from people that, you know, how much this helped them at a very difficult time. And I thought how much more appropriate it would be if we can take the words of Christ and really apply it to our lives. So today we're going to be looking at those passages from Matthew chapter 6. Before doing that, let's get an idea of what we're talking about. Let's put it into context. chapter 6 falls right in the middle of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of times people come up to me and they ask, well, should I read a Bible? And you know, one of the difficulties about the Bible, if you pick it up, you look at it physically, look at the Bible, it is really lopsided. There is this huge portion called the Old Testament, which is the Old Covenant, and then there is a smaller portion called the New Testament. And right away, people start reading from the beginning, and that's great. You've got these myths, you've got these legends, you've got stories about Adam and Eve, you've got the Ararat story. Wow, that's a great one for Armenians, because the Noah's Ark lands on Ararat, and there's all kinds of beautiful stories, and there's also a lot of, shall we say it, things that are very difficult. Should I say that word? Yeah, okay. It's difficult. It's difficult to get through. In fact, I heard somewhere along the way somebody said, if you've got insomnia, the best cure for it is read Leviticus. Yeah, that is a yawner. There is so much. Now, this is not to degrade the Bible. This is all said in jest, because we have to understand that the Bible comes to us as one book, not just separate books. And in its entirety, it is the statement of hope that God creates and constantly is creating, that He loves and He loved and He is constantly loving. And that is why we are living today. And God's love never, never ceases to be with us, because that is the definition of God. He is love. Now, that being said, there is a beautiful part to the Bible that talks about the incarnation. That means taking form, okay, taking body, the incarnation of love. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. In other words, love took on a body form. He took on a form that we can understand, a human form. And Jesus Christ was pure love that came to us, and came to us and touched us in a way that we had never been touched before. And this is what's really important when we read the Bible, is to put everything in its perspective. So when people come up to me and they say, oh, I got a new Bible and I want to read it. How do you read the Bible? Oh, I just started reading the Bible. Well, I always tell them, you know, slow down a bit, take a little breath, and why don't you start from the book of Matthew? Why don't you start from the book of John? And start from there, and then start developing an understanding of why the Old Testament is important. It's in the context of the New Testament. And I want to go a bit further this time and say that really to begin, you need to begin with the story of what Jesus is all about. And that we find in the Sermon on the Mount. It is three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. These three chapters are known as the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus went up to a mountaintop and he preached to the people. The assumption there, of course, is that the people had grown to such a number, such a level, that he needed that positioning up on a mountain. Of course, in the context of the Old Testament, it is from where the law was given. Moses went up to the mountaintop and returned to the people with the tablets, with the law. And so he spoke to the people in the name of God. He went up to the mountain, and from the mountain, he reached out to the people and said, this is the message that God has given. This is the law. Well, in the New Testament, we see Jesus too. He goes up the mountain, and from the mountain, he doesn't say, this is a message I'm bringing to you. He just speaks. He just speaks, because here is the incarnation of God. Here is the incarnation of love addressing his creation. And he tells us in no uncertain terms that we are blessed. We are happy despite all of the difficulties that we have. And I know that today, right now, people are hurting. All throughout the world, people are crying out. They're looking for a connection that says that, look, what is this all about? We've struggled all of our lives. We've put together little things called nest eggs. We've built homes. And now all of a sudden, everything is being destroyed. We're talking about going against an economy which is not working with us. And they told us, if you saved, you'd have this much. And then all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, the stock markets come crashing down and things as we know it end. And it's so important for us to understand the bigger picture, that these are things that are tools for us and not the reason for our lives in this world. And Jesus specifically talks about this. Now you're going to say, okay, this is some kind of religious talk just to comfort us. It is more than that. It is more than comfort. It is to get us, you and me, to think about what is really essential in life. If these podcasts, these sermons, these talks that I have over here, or any good preacher that discusses with you, has no impact on your life, they are merely words. But each of these words, these scriptures that we read, should come alive in your life. They should make you think. They should make you ponder and really struggle with the idea of, I need to reach out and do something that is in line with God's law. Because as Moses went up to the mountaintop and preached to the people and gave the law, now Jesus is giving the new law. He's giving the new covenant. He is giving the new instruction, so to speak. And that instruction is based on one simple word. Love. Hey, you didn't need me to tell you that. You understood that. We all know that. But how many of us really rely on that love? Instead, we rely on the things that life has given us. We've bought into that whole illusion that somehow our lives are an accumulation of our wealth and the things that we have. And it is an illusion. We're seeing it this week. We're seeing it right now. I mean, all these years we've been saying it, but nobody believes it because you know it's fun. We all have fun getting into nice cars, walking on nice carpet. We'd like to have the better things in life. Sure, who doesn't want to have those things? But when you buy into that illusion that somehow those are the things that you live for, you've lost sight of what it's all about. And throughout the scriptures, Jesus' commands, Jesus' talk is not about the money. In fact, St. Paul says it so beautifully. He says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Interesting, huh? Sometimes it gets misquoted. The root of all evil is money. Money is the root of all evil. No, the love of that money. Because what money does, like any obsession that comes in front of you, it makes you lose sight of what's important. You start working for the money rather than the things that money can do. Think of all the great things that you would do if you had a little bit of extra money. Each of us does that. We fantasize. What would we do if we hit a lottery? If we had an extra bit of money? What are the good things that we would do? And unfortunately, sometimes people come down to it and even make a deal with God. Like, God, you know, like if I hit the lottery, I'm going to give this much to your church. I'm going to build you a hospital. As if God needs it. As if God needs this stuff. I mean, don't we get it? Don't we get it? If God really wanted something, I mean, what's it take to just kind of wish it or will it? But somehow we fool ourselves because we bought into this thing that the material goods are truly the important things, and we've lost sight of those things that are so valuable to us. And not only have we lost sight of them, we've lost them themselves. Those things that give a human being worth to love, to be able to care, to be able to take time and dedicate it to something greater than yourself. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus challenges us to really look at what is important in our life. And right now, I want to challenge you. Today, when this podcast is done, get your Bible out. Read Matthew chapter 5 through the end of 7. And you find a Jesus which is talking and speaking a language that we may not understand, but it is certainly the Christian language. That is the language that we need to understand, is Christ's language, a language of love. It's the language that is so often forgotten. Because I tell you, if you look at some of the great people that are doing some good things in this world, whether it is to feed the hungry, whether it is to get out there and take care of these dreaded diseases such as AIDS, you look at the direction that Jesus has given us. Jesus should be the epitome, should be the hero of the day. But so many times, it is almost, people are ashamed to say that they are Christian. Why? Because most times Christians have just failed to look at what the message is all about. It's about love of others and not love of the self.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land, oh, if I ever lose my hands, oh, I won't have to work no more. And if I ever lose my eyes, if my colors all run dry, yes, if I ever lose my eyes, oh, I won't have to cry no more. Yes, I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my legs, I won't moan and I won't beg. Oh, if I ever lose my legs, oh, if I won't have to walk no more. And if I ever lose my mouth, all my teeth, north and south, yes, if I ever lose my mouth, oh, I won't have.
The passage that I want to share with you is sometimes called the Lilies of the Field passage. It is a familiar one. In fact, in 1964, Sidney Poitier became the first African American to win an Academy Award based on this beautiful story called The Lilies of the Field. And I really suggest to all of you, if you want a good movie to watch with the family, in fact, some of you who are listening have been writing to me from congregations, it is an excellent movie to pick up and rent and watch with your congregations, because it gets you to start thinking about what is important. How does prayer life really influence the making of your life, of your tangible life? And so this passage comes to us from Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus begins this way. It's from, I'm going to read today from the New English Bible. This is a translation that I particularly enjoy. It's a translation that's done in England. It has a different flavor of combination of words. And I chose this for specifically, there's a few passages that just come out so poetically and touch our lives. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and on. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where it grows rusty and moth-eaten, and thieves break in to steal it. Store up treasures in heaven, where there is no moth and no rust to spoil it, no thieves to break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, such simple words. How difficult is it for us to put them in place? People sometimes think that Christianity is a difficult religion. In fact, there are people who say that, you know, oh, the path of Christianity is so tough. That's why just a few of us get in there. No, the path of Christianity is natural. And what is natural is never tough. It is the way of nature. It is to completely surrender the self and to realize that God is in charge. And so that you look at life in a different way. What's the purpose of storing all of these things? I mean, we found out this past couple weeks. I mean, here in America, the bailout was $700 billion, and we can't even understand that amount. And then we hear throughout Europe and throughout Asia, there's bigger bailouts taking place or similar bailouts taking place. What does it tell you? That yes, those treasures that people accumulated weren't the treasures that they should have. In the end, they're gone. And people are losing houses, and they're losing tangible goods, they're losing money. And all under this guise that somehow these things have an intrinsic value. No, these are the tools that we use in our life to get from point A to point B. And it is important to put those tools in perspective, that there is something so much greater that God values and you need to value. And that is your human soul. That is that soul that is living within you, that has that capacity to love, to be able to care for others and to care about yourself and others to care about you. And so Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What does he mean by that? He says, put your treasure in those valuable things. If you believe in the church, you need to be there. If you believe in what the Red Cross is doing, you need to be there. If you need to believe in the Salvation Army, if you believe what AIDS research is doing, that's where you need to be, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also going to be. Jesus goes on, he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eyes are sound, you will have light for your whole body. If the eyes are bad, your whole body will be in darkness. If then the only light you have is darkness, the darkness is doubly dark. We talked about this briefly last week. All major traditions make reference to the light. The light comes before creation. The light is from the beginning of time. And that enlightenment that we are called to is certainly one that you and I need to connect with right now, because that enlightenment is what lifts us from our states of darkness. Well, what is that darkness? That darkness is our fear, our anxieties, our difficulties in life. And certainly that light squelches the darkness. It gets rid of it. Jesus continues, he says, no servant can be a slave of two masters, for either he will hate the first and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and think nothing of the second. You cannot serve God and money. Well, certainly, we don't understand the metaphor of slaves these days, thank God. But we certainly understand that once you serve God, it is very difficult to be a servant of money. And in the same way, if you serve the money, it is very difficult to be a servant of God. Jesus is saying, set your priorities. And now Jesus brings it home by talking about the very tangible things that we worry about, that we struggle for day in, day out. He says, therefore, I bid you put away anxious thoughts about food and drink to keep you alive, and clothe to cover your body. Surely life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and reap and store in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are worth more than those birds. Is there a man of you who by anxious thoughts can add a foot to his height? And why be anxious about clothes? Consider how the lilies grow in the field. They do not work, they do not spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not attired like one of these. But if that is how God clothes the grass in the fields, which is there today and tomorrow is thrown on the stove, will he not all the more clothe you? How little faith you have. Think about that for a moment. You look at the birds. Do they worry about tomorrow? Do they worry about the food that they need to get? Each day has its own struggle. And likewise for us, when we get consumed in this marketplace of capitalism, when we start believing that somehow these things are going to outlast us, we lose sight of what is really important in our lives. That ability to love, that ability to survive in a state of love. I tell you, the happiest people on the planet are not the people with the wealth. I remember my grandmother, she used to make a game. It was called a vec. I don't even know what this thing is. It's a bone from some animal. I want to say it was from a lamb. And she showed us how that, you know, with her friends, they would use it and made some kind of a dice game. They would put different numbers on it and they would play with this thing called a vec. And what's interesting about it is my grandmother was a survivor of the Armenian genocide. I mean, these are people that had absolutely nothing, that were in refugee camps trying to create a life. And here they are playing with small little animal bones and having so much fun. And I didn't see this until the year 2006 when I visited Rwanda. And there was a group of kids in a refugee camp. Well, they were from a refugee camp. These were orphans now. This was in post-genocide time. And there they were in Rwanda, and they were playing soccer. And they were barefoot, but I'll tell you one thing, not one of them was dirty. Yeah, there was the earth there, but there wasn't dirt. It wasn't filth. And these kids were playing soccer, and we came close to them, and they were just having so much fun. And I looked over at the ball that they were playing with. They had basically taken shreds of paper, little pieces of rubber band, whatever they could accumulate together, and made a ball out of trash. And that was their fun. And you could not create one of those smiles today on a child here in America, despite how many Nintendos, Wii games you gave them, how many cell phones and iPods you put in their purses. It would not make them as happy as those kids were. It reminded me of my grandmother's generation being happy with a vec, with a small little bone. And it's so true when you look around you. The people who are the happiest are the people that are really in tune with what life has given them. Those important things, like the birds of the sky, who fly and they don't worry about tomorrow, but you know what? God takes care of them. I had a parishioner in San Jose, and once or twice a year he would go down into Mexico. And this, you know, San Jose saw its day, its heyday back in the late 80s, early 90s. There was a lot of money to be made. And this one parishioner was had accumulated quite a bit of a fortune because he had done the right things. He was a hard worker and definitely knew where the tide was going. And once or twice a year, he would fly down into Mexico, and he wouldn't go to the resorts. He'd actually go and live out on the beach. And one day, when I talked to him, we were discussing his trips. I said, with all the wealth that you have, you could definitely do Acapulco, you could do Cancun, you could do some of the bigger spots in the world. And what is it, what attracts you down to that beach? And he said, Deadeye, you know, one of the things that I miss right now in my life is what I had when I was a child. And I knew his past too, and I said, what was that? And he said, we didn't have anything, but we were happy. He says, and I go out on those beach and I see those little kids coming up and playing and laughing. And it reminds me of that carefree life that we left behind. Now, with all of these factories, with all of these business opportunities that I have, and being responsible not only for my family and myself, but responsible for the welfare of my employees, I think of all of the extra accumulated difficulties and pressures that are now on me. And as we know in life right now, what is the number one cause of some of the, let's say, the illnesses and the sicknesses that we have to endure in life? They say it's called stress. Isn't it interesting that you could look at past generations? I mean, you look at people who've gone through genocide. They have lost not only their 401k plan. They've not only lost a small bank account. They've lost everything. They've lost family, parents. They've lost children. They've lost home. They've lost possessions. And I remember that generation of genocide survivors. And I'll tell you one thing that they didn't have. They didn't have stress. They didn't have the stress that you and I go through. We call, you know, the line at the store stressful. We call being on hold for 10 minutes stressful. We call the parking lots that are freeways stressful situations. And yet these people went across continents. These people saw the destruction of their home and property and their families and labeled it as genocide, as a people trying to eliminate their whole gene pool. And these people cut across continents and oceans, not just one freeway system. And they made it without the stress that you and I feel. And I think it has to do with what Christ is talking about. In fact, not I think, I know. I know this is it. And this is what I want to pass along to you today. Because I feel that here is an answer that as Armenian Christians we understand so beautifully because of our past. And it is an answer to today's definite dilemma and difficulties that we are having. Do not worry about tomorrow, but completely surrender it to God. If God is in charge, don't worry about it, because He is our Heavenly Father. And He says it right here. Jesus says it. You know what to do with your children. If your children come up to you and say, Dad, Mom, I want a piece of bread, you don't pull out a snake and put it on their plate. If they say, Mom and Dad, I need a drink of water, you don't go and get the bleach or Drano and give it to them. You give them not only water, you give them purified water. And in the same way, you have asked God to take care of you. You have surrendered to God. Trust Him. You need to trust. And unfortunately, what happens in life is we get caught up with, this is where I was talking about earlier, about the materialism. The materialism gives us that illusion that we have lost, that He has abandoned us, because we don't get the exact results that we want by today's standards. We don't have that a little bit of extra cash. We don't have those things. And instead of saying that this is an opportunity for me to really look at what is necessary in my life, we say, oh, look at my situation. It's so bad. Why can't I have those things? God doesn't care for me. Oh, I surrendered to God and He didn't take care of me. And this is where we start losing that faith and that trust in God, that He will lead us forward. You see, trusting God means really to say, okay, it's yours. Take it away. I am like the bird out there. I want to be able to fly. I want to be able to enjoy. And you know, sometimes a wind will come and knock me off my course. Sometimes maybe one of the bigger vultures may come and give me a little scare. May take a slap at me with a wing or with a beak. But it's okay. Because you know what? I'm going to make it. I am like that lily of the field. I don't need to worry about all of the beauty around me and what everybody else is wearing and what everybody else is driving and what big houses they're in. I know that God has clothed me so beautifully that not even Solomon, not even the great ones, were as tuned as I am, because those great ones may be great by their standards, but today I am a child of God, and God is taking care of me. You see, that's the submission. That's where in Orthodoxy we talk about allowing God to take our lives and really move our lives forward. Well, what am I talking about? Is it a magician God? Is it a God that's a puppeteer that's going to take my life and do this? No, it's the same basic Orthodox message that I've had for you since the beginning. That God is love. That is the power to be able to love and to be able to receive the love. And sometimes you need to accept that too. You can't always be giving because you wear out. You need to be able to be open to God's love coming into your life. And God is coming today to say that I love you, I care about you. And once you receive that love, you know what to do. You become like that lily of the field, who is so beautiful, who is so fragile at the same time, but understand that despite the winds, despite the floods, despite the difficulties, the roots are in there, and you're just popping your head up and looking at life and saying, wow, is that beautiful? Look at that sunrise. Look at that moonset. Look at all around me. It is so beautiful, and I know why. Because like the lily, God cares about me. And so Jesus continues and concludes this one segment by saying, do not be anxious, and do not anxiously ask, what are we to eat and what are we to drink? What shall we wear? Now you can add a bunch of stuff to this. What will happen to my 401k? What will happen to my bank accounts? Where is the world economy going? Do not anxiously ask these questions. All these are things for the heathen to run after, not for you, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Whoa! Did you hear that? He knows what we need. Isn't that true in the same metaphor? Before our children ask us for bread or for water, don't we already know that they need it? How many of us wait for our child to say, Mom, I want a piece of bread. Dad, I need a glass of water. Right away, we're there to give it to them before they ask. And how much more does your Heavenly Father know what your needs are? And now here's the clincher. This is the key now. Jesus gives it to us in verse 33 of that chapter. And this is the way it all fits in. This is the key that puts into motion everything else. Jesus said, set your mind on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well. I want to read that one more time. I think it is so important, because you say, well, I can't trust. I can't believe this. I've already been slapped around too many times in life. I've already lost so much. How can I trust in God? How can I do this? Listen to this. Set your mind on God's kingdom and his justice before everything else, and all the rest will come to you as well. So do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will look after itself. Each day has troubles enough of its own. It is the same wish that we wish to all of you, the same wish that Jesus instructed us 2,000 years ago. Tomorrow is going to come whether you like it or not. Tomorrow has its pains. Think about today. Think about the struggles you have today. Think about the opportunities you have today to reach out and care and love people. Because you could lose a lot of stuff. You can lose all of your stocks and bonds. You can lose bank accounts. But you can't lose the love that you have in your heart. You really can't. You can't lose the affection that God has for you. That is, without a doubt, the greatest thing that you have. And trust me, look at the examples. Don't trust me. Look at the examples that I gave you. Look at generations that came before you. Every one of them is alive today because of their trust in something bigger than themselves. Well, I'm about ready for some music right now. I think a little Padik Nazarian will do us fine right now. Let's listen.
Lusniak ni jam sari tak kakavatra vartera sierpe menzelu kunna nushe tari tak vachenam kenem khorkeno venknem artera smananzelu Vachenam kanem khorkeno venknem arteres menanzelu Artera tov tzorenov kakavatera varteres yerpe menzelu Kez cem tesnu morerov Vachenam kanem khorkeno venknem arteres menanzelu Vachenam kanem khorkeno venknem arteres menanzelu Genan karte kaganeng Kakavatra varteras yerpe menzelu Mazerit het khaganem Vachenam kanem khorkeno venknem Arteras menanzelu Vachenam kanem khorkeno venknem Arteres menanzelu.
Wow, I hope you enjoyed that. That was Padik Nazarian. That is from her Cycle of Life album, put out a few years ago in 2000 under Garni label. And that is available on the internet definitely and at some of the finer music stores. And today's background music was from the Desert Moon Song album. And of course, everything is always enveloped with those riffs from Jethro Tull. We also heard Cat Stevens' Moon Shadow. I was going to say Moon Dance, but it's all in the same genre, isn't it? It's like, I keep thinking back on those beautiful moons that are coming up these days. Enjoy those too. And that wraps it up for this podcast. I do have a few announcements. Want to remind you to put December 18th on your calendar, whatever it takes, be in Los Angeles for the premiere of the Gore CD, the Spirit CD. Actually, we're going to have a premiere a little bit earlier, but you'll get to hear it in concert that night. And that is the first group of spiritual music coming out in many millennium. Well, not too many millennium, but certainly many centuries. I think you're going to enjoy it. We'll start playing some of those tunes in the next few weeks, and certainly tickets will be available soon. But mark your calendars for right now. Also, we'll want to remind you that our calendar is coming out with the 7x77 picture taken by Gregory Bilerian, and that's going to be available on our website and at different locations. So keep your eyes open for that, because that is truly a piece of art that you will want in your house. And there's so many opportunities on the internet. I can't tell you what it has done for our ministry, but specifically, get involved with some of these blogs. There are so many people that you will find. I get the emails from you, which are very, very private. Not the contents, but they come to me privately as emails. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of people out there who are feeling the same pains, the same struggles that you're feeling. And it's a great community out there because geography has no jurisdiction over it. You can get together over the internet, share ideas, share some of your concerns, share some of your accomplishments and feelings, and most importantly, share some of your prayers. So that's available through In His Shoes or mychurch.org. There are just too many opportunities for me to tell you right now, so just grab onto the internet and come to In His Shoes and you could experience it. Also on Epostle, these people at Epostle are making apostolic evangelism available in the electronic world. It's a great place to start and send your friends so that they could get plugged into these podcasts, for you to make a donation. If you want to put your treasure where your heart is and you believe in this, please hit that button that's over there on apostle.net and it'll get you connected right away. They've done some incredible things to make life so much easier for us, and we do appreciate all of your prayers and all of your words of encouragement. So for Susie, who's been producing today up in the booth up there with Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin. Looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.